Hello, and welcome back to Sit Podcast. My name is Maya. This is the podcast about living life spiritually. Hello, everyone. So this is a guest episode today, and I just wanted to come on here first and let you know that I am going to be talking with Britt today. She's super awesome. I follow her on Instagram now, and I'm like obsessed, and I definitely want to work with her in the future. She does some really cool things. She is killing it. Her website's beautiful. Her work is beautiful, and she's just crushing the game. So you'll be listening to this episode where we talk a bit about what she does. She works in the realm of esoteric healing and Akashic record reading and inner child work. So there's lots in there. Those words might mean nothing to you right now, but they will, you'll get some clarity around those throughout the episode. And yeah, I linked everything for her in the show notes, and you can also go over and find her on Instagram. You can go to her website. You can follow me on Instagram, and I will have a post about this episode up there. So feel free to check it all out, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Okay, welcome back, everyone. Happy to be here. We're doing another guest episode today, and I have Britt with me from Heart of Britt. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Maya. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, super happy that you're here. You reached out on Instagram and wanted to be on. I was like, yeah, I looked at your page. I was like, of course. She seems super aligned, and like we do really similar things. I'm excited to talk today.
Yay. I know it's kind of nervous when you have to like market yourself and put yourself out there. So I don't do that. I'm actually really shy with the work that I do, but things are changing. And with that change, I think the confidence is coming in. And so I was really happy when you accepted that.
Yeah.
And said yes.
Yeah, of course. You know, I get like spam people questioning me like to be on my podcast all the time. So sometimes it's hard to tell if somebody's a real person or not. So I'm glad you're a real person. That's,
yay, that's always, real.
Yes, you're real. I can see you with my own eyes. Yeah, it's awesome.
Verified.
Verified. Yeah. Yeah. It's great that you're doing that though. I've never been a guest on a podcast. Like I have this podcast. I have one time, but I probably should reach out more. It's a great way of getting out there and connecting with people.
It's such a good way of networking. And so you began this way before I was ready to even have a sort of, esoteric spiritual business. Mm-hmm. So you definitely got your foot in the door early.
Yeah, we were like really just reaching around in the dark. It was me and a co-host originally, and now it's just me. But if I hadn't had somebody else there kind of like pushing me through, it's an intimidating thing to break into. So I know where you're at with that.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you do esoteric healing. You do inner child healing. I saw you do like Akashic record reading. So a lot of that stuff is, you know, maybe things that people have heard of, and I've heard of most of them, but I don't have the total understanding of exactly what that means in your line of work. So let's start with the esoteric healing. What is that? How do you frame that? How do you explain that to people?
Yeah, that's perfect. So actually my start into sort of this unseen world, this multidimensional reality that we're a part of. I was adopted at the age of 10. And when I turned 14, my adopted grandmother invited me to be in her energy healing class. Oh, cool. So that was esoteric healing. That's how I got my start. And then through taking those classes, there are 8 total. By the time I left high school, I had graduated that, but I had also that same year graduated from the esoteric healing school. And so it was a part of my life for a really long time. I'm 27 now. I'm almost 28. So it's been really just a part of my identity. But like I said before, I'm pretty shy when it comes to talking about those things, or at least I was. So esoteric healing gave me kind of a start to be like a closeted mystic all throughout college. Cause you know, sometimes when I would talk about it, people just wouldn't understand what I was saying. So I grew really quiet about that practice. And then in 2020, the huge kind of global wake up for a lot of people, I became very depressed and I didn't know what was happening. And I realized I had been suppressing my identity to such a degree that I was living life as a zombie. And I really was becoming like a robot, someone who wasn't me, just kind of going through my day-to-day life, feeling like, oh, this is all there is. Whereas my soul was kind of whispering like, you know who you are. You have to embrace that. And it's an identity, but not that we put spiritual work in a box necessarily, but it's an identity that took me a while to embrace as part of my purpose. And then actually, one night I was sitting in my bed, my fiance was at work and I was having another episode, right? Just kind of feeling like, where am I going? What the heck is happening with my life? And I just heard in my head loud and clear. It was like this huge, biggest epiphany I've ever had was grab that book your friend gave you a couple years ago and start reading it. And it was How to Read the Akashic Records.
Wow, interesting.
And it was like 9 o'clock at night. And I was like, okay, I had nothing else to lose. There wasn't anything else that I cared about or wanted to do. I had nothing inside of me. So I was like, okay. And I read it in one night and I opened my Akashic Records in that same night. And it completely changed my life. It pulled me out of this zombie mode that I had been living into like who I truly am. And so I'll kind of blend all that together and just say esoteric healing is an energy healing modality. It is very specific. It works with your energetic anatomy, which encompasses your auric field, that encompasses your chakra system, like the meridians and the nadis of your body. If you follow more of like the acupuncture philosophy of it, those channels. But you learn through esoteric healing how to assess different points of your energetic body. Is it excessive in energy? Is it depleted in energy? Or does it have an okay flow? You assess it. So one thing that I might assess for a client would be the chakra system as a whole, looking at, let's say, the heart center. But then I'd go in deeper and I'd actually want to assess with that heart center, like, how's the heart organ feeling? How is the circulation doing? How's the immune system? How are the lungs feeling? And so you actually break down the chakra system and the each individual chakra and go deeper. So one thing you can do in like the solar plexus is assess the spleen. And in esoteric healing philosophy, the spleen holds joy for the body and actually greatly impacts the immune system, the heart center. So if the spleen's depleted, it's more likely than not we're looking at a depletion of joy in our life, and we're looking at probably some depletion in the heart center too. So there's a lot that goes into this. There's 8 classes for a reason, and each class is 5 days long. You know, it's an 8-hour day each day. So one thing that esoteric healing really strives on, and kind of the motto for this work, is where there's physical illness, there's a depletion of soul life in the body. So what this work does is it essentially, in an umbrella kind of way, is it brings more soul energy into the depleted parts of the body so that we can come back into harmony and find that holistic balance. So it also deals with the physical anatomy, like I've mentioned, but it also deals with the emotional body that you have, the mental body that you have, and the spiritual body that you have. And I know there's a lot of thoughts and different philosophies around the energetic anatomy itself, but that's coming from really the esoteric healing standpoint. So the esoteric healing that I do is supported by the NAEH, which is the National Association of Esoteric Healing. Then there's actually an international network of esoteric healing, which is INEH.
Okay.
There's 2 organizations and they're kind of the bigger force behind getting this work out there. And the NAEH is who I am doing my teacher training through this year.
Awesome. Congrats on that. That's really cool. When are you going to be certified or finished with that
process? So it's kind of funny, even though I took all 8 classes from the ages of 14 to 18, that was a really long time ago. I never went through the certification program itself. Once you go through the certification program itself, then you can do the teacher training program. Right. So I am finishing that up in 2 weeks, the certification, and then I'm going to apply to be in the teacher training.
Got it. Okay. And how long of a process is the teacher training?
I'm actually not sure. So
you're just going for it.
I'm not sure. And they do 4 classes for sure, like 1 through 4. And then the other 4 classes that my grandmother taught, she's one of the only people that can teach it.
Wow.
Like it's
cool.
Super crazy, because the woman that actually developed the 4 kind of more advanced courses passed away. And before she passed, she only had maybe 2 or 3 students that she taught how to teach those courses. It's kind of like this crazy thing, but then I'll just say that all the information came from the channeling books called Esoteric Healing, which came out in the 1900s. And Alice Bailey is the woman behind this energy healing work. And she channeled all that information and wrote books about it. So they're actual books called Esoteric Healing.
Okay, cool.
And then for us today, what we've done is taken that information and put it into classes to teach her teachings on how to do the energy healing work.
Right. And I'm sure we have, you know, such a different understanding of like the internal body and different processes and things like that. I'm sure that it's just been built upon since she did that, but yeah, really cool. Good to know. I'll link those books and those sites as well for people if they're interested.
Yeah. The books are very intense. It's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, when you think about the philosophy behind it, it's more than just energy healing.
Yeah, right. I'm sure that you could go down rabbit holes. I can imagine.
Rabbit holes forever.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I want to like applaud that explanation. That was so clear and really interesting. That's really awesome. I can tell you've spent a lot of time with this modality and exploring it. That's really awesome. Yeah. And, you know, as you're talking, there's so many different ways of healing ourselves, right? That like, it sounds like a combination of so many different things that I've heard about or done or experienced, right? Like there's, you know, obviously Reiki, it sounds very like Reiki-ish, right? And then access bars. I don't know if you know what that one is, but I think that one accesses the meridians also, like general shamanic healing, Kundalini yoga sinks in like the energy and emotions and mental with the physical body, right? And all of those different things, it sounds like just a really concise combination of those different avenues. That's really awesome.
Yeah. I'm actually in the teacher training program this year. And that's something that I've wanted to do for a while now, because I'd so much rather my clients have the tools to do this themselves than constantly relying on someone else. Yeah. And so here's the thing, I get energy healing sessions. I get readings from my own reader once a year. And sometimes we really need to receive from an outside trusted source. But how amazing is it to have the empowerment to, when you're having an off day, you drop in and you go in and assess what's going on with your energetic anatomy. And you give yourself that sacred space to support yourself, right? So the energy that comes through, and I'll be a little bit more specific, the energy that I work with that comes through is totally led by the will of your soul. Nothing in an esoteric healing session can happen unless it has like the stamp of approval by your soul. And that's a little tricky, because sometimes when people are dealing with illness, physical illness, mental and emotional kind of imbalances, we do our best to hold space for that. But if your soul has a greater plan, or there's something in your soul contract that says for 2 years, you're going to be dealing with maybe this menstrual pain, or for 2 years in this contract, you're going to be dealing with, you know, example A or B, and this thing is going to happen, but it's because there's something greater you're working through, then esoteric healing can support you to really navigate that situation and kind of navigate this holistic health part of your life. But we cannot rush the soul and its journey and kind of what it has signed up to go through in this life. That's kind of like a disclaimer that I like to give. there's just a lot of things that can pop up and we don't always know the reason why. Mm-hmm. One thing that I'll mention is with this work too, it does help heal any energy that has come in from a past life that is blocking your present journey. So when we're looking at working with the energetic anatomy, we're actually working with your soul as an entity, as itself, right? Mm-hmm. And that's multidimensional. That is outside of a timeline that us humans go by. So a lot of things that we're moving out of your anatomy, your energetic anatomy, and working through might even be from a past life trauma.
Yeah. That's a great point. The piece around like, it's all in your soul's timing, right? It has mm-hmm. to be time and right for what you signed up for. And I think that that's, you know, often overlooked and we think like, well, I'm just going to force myself to heal and then that will have been my soul's, you know, journey. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's not how it works. Sometimes we need to learn the lesson of acceptance or surrender or compassion or, you know, so many different things that come with ailments or issues mm-hmm. being out of our own timeline. Because of course, you know, like manifestation wise, none of us would choose the hard things that happen in our life, but our yeah. soul has so much more intelligence and intention than we could ever know in our own 3D linear world.
Absolutely. And I can give an example of this too, just really quickly, is that for most of my life, ever since I started my cycle, ever since I started my bleed, I had chronic pain. Mm-hmm. And the energy healing would actually help. So it would be like 2 a.m. and here I am awake and I'm 16 and I have school the next day. I can't sleep. The pain is so bad. I'd start to do energy healing and it would actually minimize and decrease the pain so that I could go back to sleep. But it wasn't fixing the root of the problem just yet. Because what it was doing is the esoteric healing was allowing me the space to get to the root cause of why that pain was coming up in my life. And then eventually I realized through talking to my own spirit guides and figuring out what really was happening is that I had a lot of forgiveness work to do with the men from my childhood. Mm-hmm. So even though the esoteric healing was helping release a lot of layers to get to the core of what was happening, I then realized, oh, now I'm at the core. And the core is I have to do forgiveness work to be done with this and to really release it. So there's a lot of kind of different things that come together in mm-hmm. kind of the esoteric healing itself. But the more that you do it, the more you can get to the core or the root of some of the issues going on to really have that release happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. I have a similar situation that happened for me. I was getting like chronic UTIs for a little while for like 9 months or something like that. I would be like multiple a month. I would get them, you know, for like a few days, like, and then it'd be gone for a week and then I'd get it again and it just wouldn't go away. And I was doing all the right things, you know, taking the right supplements and like hygiene wise and all the stuff. Right. And it just wouldn't go away. And then eventually, and you know, I was doing energy work on myself. My boyfriend mm-hmm. would do energy work on me. And like you said, it alleviates momentarily so you can like get through it. Right. But eventually I did this healing meditation and came to like the intuitive realization that it was all wrapped up in shame. And every time I ever felt the emotion or like the feeling of shame around like really anything, but sexuality, mm-hmm. sensuality, things like that, but any form of shame in my body, it would manifest almost immediately mm-hmm. as a UTI. And then the moment that I realized that and I released the need to feel shame anymore, I haven't had one since then. Like it was just so immediate and it was such a beautiful lesson because otherwise I never would have gotten as deep, just like you're talking about. Like you need to, you know, I don't want to say suffer because suffering's a choice, but you need to move through the process in order to really get the gift at the end of it.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah. It's amazing how these physical manifestations actually are rooted in your mental and emotional body. They're rooted in your energetic anatomy because it starts with the mind. And then it starts with the mind controlling the emotion that is sort of manifesting to cause a block, whether it's in the sacral and the reproductive mm-hmm. or the urinary tract. One thing that I find really interesting is that in the lungs, we learned Grief is held in the lungs, and grief is something that is really easy to carry over as a soul through incarnations, because grief is not, you're never taught how to heal grief or move through it. It's just something life throws at you that you maybe can navigate, or you never do navigate grief. So what's interesting is that a lot of sessions I have, even if the person in front of me is not dealing with grief, or just that's grief is not an awareness in their life right now, there's this need to release the lungs and the heaviness of the lungs at a, in an energetic sense. And what I find is that it's often past life grief that is affecting the respiratory system, and that actually will affect the heart center and the throat center too. But just to give another example.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And I really love this topic, because every time, you know, it's now a normal practice in my life to be able to like relate the emotions and the mentality and the physicality and the energetics and everything. And I can do that pretty swiftly, but learning that and getting, you know, versed in that when I was first on this journey, you start to realize how intuitive and how perfectly made our vessels are, right? Like it is such divine intelligence. It's incredible. And even just, you know, symbolically, like having like a weight on your chest, right? That's this like grief feeling of feeling like you can't breathe and it took all the air out of your lungs, right? So we talk about these things, and we can talk about how it symbolically feels. And then all we have to do is go one step deeper and realize that it's actually manifesting. It's not just symbolism. It is in our physical form also. And it's just, it becomes so obvious. Once you start looking at it, you're like, oh my gosh, of course, like our bodies know so much more than we give them credit for. It's incredible.
That's so well said. Absolutely. Absolutely. One thing that I find interesting is that to go along with this, a depletion starts out in your energetic anatomy before it will show up physically.
Yes. Yep.
So what I find fascinating is that if you stub your right toe, I want to know, okay, we're looking at right side. We're looking at, you know, more of a masculine sort of channel, and the right side, we're looking at external world. And so I want to know what's happening externally in your relationships that would be causing a depletion. And then for esoteric healing, the legs and the hips, like the feet, that channel actually relates to the sacral center, which I know is a little different. Mm-hmm. It relates to the sacral center and relationships. So I'm looking at, why did I stub my right toe? What's going on in my external relationships right now that either I'm not seeing or that's unconscious? That's maybe affecting me unconsciously. And let's just take a moment, because there's a depletion there for some reason. Yeah. And like what you said, knowing this work, it is so helpful to like kind of assess, like have that self-awareness to assess what's going on. What is my body telling me in a deeper way? It brings such a self-awareness. And that's why I want to really teach this work. Mm-hmm. I would love for everyone, right? And you too. We would love for everyone to have this sort of deeper analysis and self-awareness. Like, how much more patient could we be with ourselves? How much more compassion could we have for ourselves having this awareness? I mean, it would change the world.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You're so, it would change the world. It would be the most profound thing ever. And I think that the gift in all of this is that you can heal different pieces from like many different angles, right? But I also think that part of the unfortunate part is we're so accustomed to healing the physical level. But just like you said, like if the blueprint energetically is still there, things will continue to come back even if we've cleared it physically, right? Like you can see that in people who have cancer, right? Like that's an intense example. But if you go through chemo and radiation and the cancer goes away, but you still have an energetic blueprint that brought that cancer forward, it's my belief that like the blueprint's still there. Like it could still come back because you're energy field is still holding on to that. Do you agree with that, or do you see that differently?
Yeah. So this is actually where I would like to navigate the Akashic Records.
Yeah.
The Akashic Records are like your soul's library. It's this place that is really recorded. It's almost like It reminds me of like a USB that kind of downloads everything from your computer. And then you can take that USB anywhere in the world and have that information on that chip. For me, the Akashic Records are like that, where it's a place where your experiences through your incarnations really are stored. Mm-hmm. And we have been given what I think is a huge gift and a privilege to access that information, to actually change blueprints, to change soul contracts, to change and heal through past life karma, through past life trauma. So one thing I'd be interested to do is if I'm working with an esoteric healing client where we've had three sessions, but I know there's something deeper going on of like, you know, why are they getting a UTI so often? The esoteric healing is alleviating and pushing through and getting to the core of it layer by layer by layer. But I might also offer and say, hey, can we set up like a 30-minute Akashic Record reading? I want to see. And I think the client probably too would want to see if there's anything that is connecting and relating, whether it's past life, whether it's something to clear up in a soul contract relationship, you know, and relationships all are sort of in a web of connectedness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So everything's related, right? Everything's a relationship, your relationship to yourself, to your work, to your art, right? Your relationship to that, to everything. So I do use the Akashic Records if I feel there's a deeper connection and we need to see it to release it. Yeah. And actually in the Akashic Records, just opening them for a client and having them speak their truth does a lot of clearing in the Akashic Records. Yeah. So for instance, just for example, I went into my Akashic Records to do a forgiveness practice when I was having still like really awful period cramps. This was 2 years ago. And so I opened my records and I said, I'm ready for this. And so my guide came to me and we cleared a really deep, deep block around forgiveness and the divine masculine and the souls, really the souls, the men from my childhood. So there's a lot that we can incorporate and really get to the root. But my first thing is esoteric healing. Yeah. I used to do both. And then I realized the esoteric healing provides answers when we didn't know the question to ask. Mm. Whereas the Akashic Records, we're all curious. We want to know things like, did I know this person in my past life? Is this person my twin flame? Can you tell me about this in the next career path? And with esoteric healing, it allows a space to get to some root things that we might not consciously even be aware to ask a question about. The soul's just ready to release it and we do it.
Yeah. No, that's super helpful to understand kind of like the process that you would go through in deepening the understanding. My question, I guess, you know, for listeners who maybe are less familiar, or even for me, what does it actually look like? You know, the two examples here, an esoteric reading, like, do you have like kind of your eyes closed and you're intuiting your way through someone's body? Are they on camera with you? Do you have something laid out in front of you? And then for the Akashic Records, same question, like, what does opening it mean? Like, what does that actually look like? Could you walk us through that a little?
Of course. This is a great question. So for esoteric healing, we're distant. Mm-hmm. If you're in the US, I'm going to call you to do a verbal intake after you've sent me some signed documents. We're going to have a phone conversation. We're going to talk about everything that's going on. Like I said, if you stubbed your pinky toe, I want to know about it, because to me, that tells me something. That tells me something. That tells me a story is going on with your energetic anatomy, and it's important to me. If your left ear is like really sensitive for some reason, tell me. I want to know about it. And I want to know that like you're in between jobs right now. I want to know that like you had a baby a year ago. I really do want to know everything. So it's a very thorough intake. And then we hang up the phone. If you're an international client, we will be on Zoom so that we can communicate. So we get off Zoom or we hang up the phone and you have about an hour to yourself. You're going to lay down or take a walk. You can take a hot bath or a shower. You're going to do something that doesn't externalize your attention, but internalizes your attention. What I mean by that is we're not distracting ourselves in that hour. We're not watching TV. We're not on our phones. Mm-hmm. I want you to be really tuned in with your body to pay attention to what are you sensing and what are you feeling. And I will tell you, some people will say, I won't feel anything. I'm not that sensitive. By the third or fourth session, they're crying during the session. Yeah. They're releasing during the session. They're dancing because they can feel the energy that wants to move through their body during the session. So, you know, if this work is so new to you and you're not sure, the more that you receive this work, the more sensitive you will become to it. Mm-hmm. So that I will say. So that's why, even if you're not sure and you really don't think you're going to feel anything, do not externalize your attention. Be present in your body. If you're visual, some people actually see color and energetic movement. If they're laying with their eyes closed, they might actually see some color and energy moving, or they might feel me in their lower back sweeping the spine, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that can happen in an esoteric healing. If I receive any images, because I'm a reader, I'm very visual. So sometimes in an esoteric healing, the soul will show me what's releasing. It's a little bit rare because we don't always have to know what's going on, but sometimes they will bring an image forth of just things that have happened during a past incarnation that we might be clearing, even with pets. So I work on this with pets as well. When I was doing a session to this cute little dog, I was giving them the esoteric healing, and they were showing me that their ears were so blocked because their past owners were verbally abusive to one another, not to the dog, but the dog was in this energy of verbal abuse. Yeah. So the dog was showing me this. And when I gave that feedback to my client, the dog's owner, they confirmed that that was exactly what was happening because they knew where the dog came from and they knew the people that the dog came from. So sometimes I do get to see what we're clearing and what's going on. And I always give that feedback. It's not my story to keep. I always share what I see. But once we conclude the hour and we go through all the chakra systems and we're going through the entire anatomy, I mean, I even do the neuroanatomy. I even look at the hemispheres of your brain and the glands. And I even take a look at your endocrine system, the vagus nerve. There's mm-hmm. not one thing in your anatomy that gets skipped over. That's why it takes like a full focused hour. And then if you're a repeat client, usually then I can go up and do some esoteric healing on the upper centers that are above the crown mm-hmm. and the soul anatomy. And that could be a whole another episode, but I just want to kind of poke in and say your anatomy is really big. Your energetic anatomy is really big. There's a lot there. But that is kind of the hour at a glimpse. And then I call you back or we meet back on Zoom and I give you my outtake. And we talk about the things that I found. So that's for the esoteric healing.
Awesome. That's really helpful. I'm sure a lot of people, you know, cause it can be intimidating. I would imagine the first time for people. And it sounds similar to, you know, like when I do Reiki with clients, it's kind of like, they don't really have to do anything. They just have to relax. Mm-hmm. And then I do the work and then we, you know, reconvene. So it sounds similar and not as intimidating as people might think that it is. That was really helpful.
It's very gentle. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. And then Akashic Records. This is the one where I've heard about Akashic Records so much, but I'm like, what does that look like? What does that really mean? I've honestly never really gone into it much because it just, I haven't connected to it because I don't understand it.
Yeah. So I didn't understand it either. And then, like I said before, when it was 9 o'clock at night and my entire world flipped upside down because this voice said, go read this book. then it just came to me and I knew I'm not a certified Akashic Record reader. There's a lot of certifications that people can take. The thing is, when I read a book on how to read the Akashic Records, I knew how to do it because my soul.
It's kind of ironic that they're like trying to certify something that people naturally do in order to tell you that you can naturally do it.
Yes, exactly. So for me, what I will say is that the esoteric healing is so specific. Definitely take classes. Mm-hmm. For sure. Like this work is so specific and you learn so much. I mean, a part of the esoteric healing philosophy actually takes a look at the collective journey and the collective calendar for where humanity is going. And that's actually all channeled information mm-hmm. from the early 1900s, right? So this woman channeled this information to then be able to teach others. But with the Akashic Records, my soul has done it before. I know that I have been an Akashic Record reader in many past lives, or a channeler or a medium in many past lives. It's something that is so natural to my soul identity and kind of my strengths that when I read the book, I read it halfway and put it down and just was like, I know what I'm doing. This is how I'm going to do it. It's my unique way of doing it. And I don't want it to sound like egotistical, but it actually came from, it was one of the first times in my life when I opened my Akashic Records that I had a really deep trust and a deeper sense of who I am as a divine being, that I trust myself so much more on that level than anyone else's class or book. Mm-hmm. And so that's where that comes from. It's just a deep trust. And it's a deep trust in my guides and my own team that is here to support me. So the Akashic Records, very similar. I start off the energy healing and the reading the Akashic Records the same way. I align and attune. I go inward and I ground. I go up and I connect to my soul and I invite my more soul energy into the space. And then I invite the ultimate sort of highest vibration of divine energy into the space. And then my heart connects to my client, my soul connects to their soul. And I ask permission from the soul. Mm. I ask permission for the soul to give the esoteric healing. And I also ask permission from the soul to give a reading. Can I open, is it in the highest good for me to open your Akashic Records? Because here's the thing, even though like we might think we want a healing, we might think we want a reading because that's, you know, we think we need those answers or we need that. Your soul might go, oh, actually, you don't need this right now.
Yep, totally. Yeah.
Right. So I always get permission. I'm not just working with someone's personality body. I'm working with their soul when I do this work. So I mm-hmm. always get permission. Yeah. And then I connect and I start the esoteric healing or the reading. So for the Akashic Records, I say a prayer to open up the Akashic Records. I say the records are now open and I set the scene. I'm very visual. So I tell you what I'm seeing. I tell you what I'm hearing, what I'm smelling sometimes. I tell you the feeling of what's happening in the Akashic Records. And then it all just comes out verbally.
Awesome. So it's kind of like a channeling process, really. It sounds
absolutely.
Like. Absolutely. Yeah. Cause you know, there's so much work around like inner voice work, you know, intuition work, channeling from different, you know, if you want to call them like entities or just mm-hmm. highest selves and things like that. And so the Akashic Records is kind of similar in that it's just, you know, like opening up to source basically, and just becoming a funnel for the information that's already out there and channeling it through. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's similar, but the Akashic Records are a very specific vibration. So I'm glad mm-hmm. you asked this because if you're a medium or if you're a channeler or a psychic, like if I was your client and I wanted to book with you, I would be straight up asking you, where do you get your information? Mm-hmm. Are you connecting to my soul? Are you connecting to my spirit guides? Are you calling in your spirit guide? Are you calling in what entity do you channel from? I like actually do want to know where they're getting their information. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I get client information from their own Akashic Records, from their own divine blueprint. Like it is their story. And because I'm being specific about this, the Akashic Records for you are going to be very protected and very safe. It is mm-hmm. like, it's like a place with a security system where if someone's not in high vibration, you might not be able to access the Akashic Records for a client. And here's the thing, like we need to, as healers and readers, be very transparent about where we're getting our information. I know that there are, especially in sort of mediumship or psychic readings, what energetic source is the information coming from? Mm-hmm. It's really important to have that integrity in this work. And so that's why I prefer to do Akashic Records over anything else.
Got it. Okay. So it's not just like this open, I'll take anything I can get type of thing. It's really honed in.
I'm so glad you asked that question. It's very specific. Yeah, it's a very high vibration too, which is why even when a client is saying, I think I'm going through a breakup, or I think I need to leave my partner, or I think I need to change my career, and I'm really scared. There's a lot of fear coming up about that. Just them voicing their fear and what's going on in the Akashic records actually can help clear some of the fear. That's totally. How powerful it is to be in that energetic space. And you know, we could talk for hours about it, but you'll never really know sort of the session or like what's the esoteric healing session like, or what's the reading like, unless you actually are there and receiving or learning how to give it. Right. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, there's a good, you know, plug. If anybody is interested, they can go and book a session with you. Is that right? You're open to clients right now?
Absolutely. Yeah. Cool.
Awesome. Awesome. And then, you know, I like to ask, since you brought up, you know, the integrity and importance of, you know, taking care of ourselves as healers and being specific with our energy and things like that, I always like to ask people who are specifically in like the healing path like this, right? What do you do for yourself to keep yourself at a high vibration? How do you make sure that you're, you know, at the level where you want to be in order to serve your clients?
Oh, this is so good. So one thing that I will say is I used to be so of service to my business that I thought I was creating an inflow when I was doing things like putting together YouTube videos or creating for my Instagram or creating freebies for people who find me, right? And that's all looking from a business standpoint. And that was a way for me to be of service. But what I realized is it wasn't creative enough for me. So the biggest thing that I can do to keep myself at a higher vibration, at a state of joy, to be able to give is actually creative self-expression, which I know that you have a degree in art therapy, right?
Yes.
Which is so cool because last October, I used to paint when I was like 10. That's the only thing I wanted in the world was like an easel and a paint set. And then when you grow up and you're a teenager and you go through college, for some reason at those age, you start to feel like you can't do anything. Like you're not good enough to do things that you love. Well, 6 months ago, I started painting again, and it has brought my vibration tremendously into the state of joy and gratitude that I had been missing for most of my life. And this might sound like an indirect answer to your question, but actually the more that we do things that bring us joy, the more our vibration does vibrate in this, like in this higher frequency, the more that we are experiencing life and joy, the higher we vibrate. And that is going to be true for anyone. And I don't just mean, and here's the tricky part. I don't just mean things that bring your ego joy. Like, I don't just mean like, just kind of, oh, well, when I'm eating my favorite foods or when I'm eating ice cream in the bathtub, and like those things fulfill us in a lot of different ways. We're receiving reward from that. But what I find the difference is when I'm in a flow state and I'm painting and being creative, there's a shift in my vibration where my soul is so present that it's just this deep love and gratitude for who I am that comes through that I've been connecting with. And yeah, so creative self-expression is my number one thing to keep my well full, to be able to keep giving people from that well. But hey, you know what? If eating ice cream in a hot bath just really like, you could just feel your soul is so present and fulfilled in that moment, then keep doing that.
That's awesome. That is a really beautiful answer to that question. You know, I get a lot of answers that are kind of like the norm, you know, like meditate and things like that, right? Those are great. Or don't, you know, use fluoride toothpaste, whatever, right? Like people have their little things. But I think that you touched on something that's so much more. It's almost like a shortcut. It's not a shortcut, but just trying to find joy and like allowing yourself to experience joy in whatever form that looks like. I think that that's the most beautiful answer because joy and elevated emotions, right? Like our vibration and our frequency is our emotional state. So if what we're doing, you know, isn't bringing us joy, even if we're like having the most high vibration diet and all these other things, but it's not bringing our soul joy, then we're missing the point there. So I think that that's an incredible answer. I love that answer so much. And I can see your easel behind you. It's like so awesome that you have it right there. That's really great.
Yeah. And I love that. You know, it's like, okay, I mentioned food, but you know, instant gratification is different than doing something that brings you joy, that brings you such a deep sense of, wow, this is why I'm here. I am here to create and be a creative divine being. And for some people, I think that creation can come if it's like knitting, if it is when you're writing and you're in a flow state, if it's something where you just feel such a deep presence of your soul, it's a fulfillment of joy that it's not instant gratification. You know that there's a deeper vibration there for you to tap into.
Yeah. Super beautiful. I think that that's a really potent thing to learn how to differentiate. I think that's really, really important because we can all, we can lean into the like reward practices pretty easily, but the joy ones sometimes aren't the things we want to do, right? Like painting, it takes a lot of work to set up your canvas and your paints and all that stuff, right? Or whatever, you know, if you go on runs, that might be bring your soul joy, but your body is exhausted and your mind doesn't want to do it, right? So sometimes we have to push ourselves to get to the point of understanding what that difference is in what our authentic expression of joy is.
I love that. Authentic expression of joy.
Awesome. Cool. Okay. Well, that was a great answer. Is there anything else that you want to share? Anything else that you want to go into in this episode or share with the listeners?
I feel like we've been so thorough, and I feel like if I add any more to this episode, it's going to be too much.
Okay.
First, we could sit here and talk all day about everything in the universe, right?
Yeah.
Like we could do that. I think this would be a great point to just say, like on your journey with esoteric healing, the biggest thing is, at least for me, was finding compassion for myself because I was able to see the bigger picture of why I am the way I am, why I'm triggered the way that I am. Why am I afraid of snakes? Right? Like what's going on? Let's take a look at the bigger picture at a soul level, right? So with the esoteric healing, it's given me a lot of perspective on who I am and allowed me to have more compassion for this experience, this human experience. So I want that for everyone. I want everyone to find this sense of joy and compassion for themselves.
Yeah, gosh, really beautiful. I think that compassion is a really, really important one because it's not, you know, it's not all rainbows and butterflies. There's some hard stuff that we need to navigate through. So I think that's great advice. Awesome. And is there anything, you know, what do you have to offer? How can people get in touch with you? What are you feeling called for right now?
Thank you. So I've actually been diving in deeper to inner child healing work, and I've been doing that for a while, but I had never really advertised it. It comes from when I was 10, I was adopted. And in order to be adopted, it has to be pretty bad for you to be able to leave your biological family. And the fact that I found esoteric healing at the age of 14, and it really allowed me to heal a lot of what I had gone through. And I'm a firm believer that what we go through really qualifies us in a lot of ways to be able to be of service to people who maybe that's the area that they need support, right?
Yes.
And I don't say that for everything because I will be very honest. I'm not healed. I'm not perfect, but I know my boundaries and I know where I stand and I know where I can be of service. Mm-hmm. If it is something from my childhood that I haven't yet taken the time or wasn't ready or not ready to go deeper and look at that, I'm not going to preach that to someone else to do it.
Yep.
So my inner child healing course and my esoteric healing sessions, actually you can focus an energy healing session on a specific age from your childhood if you want to bring that intention into the practice. Mm. But I do what I can with what I've learned and the things that have helped me to really support other people on their path to healing the inner child.
Awesome. Yeah, really beautiful. I think that's super true. We all go through different life experiences, so we all have different medicine to bring to the world. And so, you know, the people that resonate with you and that feel like you would be the right healer for them, it's exactly for those reasons. And I'm sure there's lots of people that can resonate and benefit from what you have to offer. It's really awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here and sharing the space. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This was an awesome conversation. I think people are going to love it. And I will make sure to link all of your social media. So if you guys want to find Britt, you can find her Instagram and website. You have a beautiful website, by the way. I was looking at it and it's like very well done. Yeah. So I'll have all of that in the show notes and on Instagram. And yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.